Though Vega was a hood and a killer himself, the SFPD investigation into his murder had initially been intense. But no witness to the shooting was ever found, and the only evidence recovered was a .38 bullet removed during autopsy from the victim's brain. No competing gang from the area took credit for the kill, and graffiti that either lamented or celebrated Vega's demise offered no clue as to who or what gang had carried out the hit. The case went cold, and detectives who were assigned due diligence checks on it each year did not muster a lot of enthusiasm. It was clearly a case where the victim's death was not seen as much of a loss to society. The world was doing just fine without Uncle Murda. But when Bosch opened the files as part of his cold case review, he took a different approach. He had always operated according to the axiom that everybody counts in this world, or nobody counts. This belief dictated that he must give each case and each victim his best effort. The fact that Uncle Murda had gotten his moniker because of his willingness to carry out the deadly business of the VSF did not deter Bosch from wanting to find his killer. In Bosch's book, nobody should be able to come up behind a man on a sidewalk at dawn, put a bullet in his brain, and then disappear into the shadows of time. There was a murderer out there. He might have killed since, and he might kill again. Bosch was coming for him. The time of death was determined by various factors. Vega's wife said he had gotten up at 6 a.m. and taken the dog out the door about 20 minutes later. The coroner could only narrow it down to the 100 minutes between then and 8 a.m., which was when his body was discovered by a resident near the park. Two canvases by detectives in the neighborhood produced not a single resident who reported hearing the shot, leading to the conclusion that the shooter might have used a silencer on his weapon, or the entire neighborhood did not want to cooperate with police. While there were many handicaps in the investigation of year-old cases, loss of evidence, witnesses, crime scenes, the element of time could also be advantageous. Bosch always looked for ways to turn time in his favor. In the Cristobal Vega investigation, a lot had happened in the 14 years since the murder. Many of the gangsters in the VSF and its rivals had gone to prison for various crimes, including murder. Some had gone straight and cut ties with the life. These were the people Bosch focused on, using database searches and conversations with gang unit officers in the SFPD and from nearby LAPD divisions to produce two lists of gangsters in prison or believed to be in the straight life. Over the previous year, he had made numerous prison stops and conducted dozens of visits to the homes and workplaces of men who had left their gang affiliations behind. Each conversation was tailored to the circumstances of the man he was visiting, but in each instance, questioning casually moved toward the unsolved killing of Cristobal Vega. Most of the conversations were dead ends. The subject either maintained the code of silence or had no knowledge of the Vega killing. But eventually, pieces of information started to create the mosaic. When he heard more than three denials of involvement from members of the same gang, he moved that gang off the suspect list. Eventually, he had scratched every one of the Sanfer rivals off the list. It wasn't conclusive, but it was enough to turn his focus inward at Vega's own gang. Bosch eventually struck pay dirt in the rear parking lot of a discount shoe store in Alhambra, east of Los Angeles. The store was where a man named Martin Perez, a reformed Sanfer, worked as an inventory manager far away from the turf he once trod. Perez was 41 years old and had shed his gang affiliation 12 years earlier. Though he had been carried in gang unit intel files as a hardcore member of the Sanfers since he was 16, he had escaped a life with several arrests on his record, but no convictions. He had never been to prison and had spent only a few days here and there in county jail. The files Bosch reviewed contained color photos of the tattoos that adorned most parts of Perez's body during his active years. Included in these was an RIP Uncle Murda ink job on his neck. This put him high on the list of men Bosch wanted to talk to. Bosch staked out the shoe store's parking lot and spotted Perez stepping out back to smoke a cigarette while on a 3 p.m. break. Through a pair of binoculars, Bosch confirmed that Perez still carried the tattoo on his neck. He noted the time of the break and then drove away.